This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, for most of this week, the Brian Flores story has certainly taken center stage. It's a serious topic, and at the root of it is that Brian Flores has felt that he had a sham interview with the Giants, who had already decided to hire Brian Daboll. And the reason that it was a sham interview, he feels, is, well, the Giants have to interview two minority candidates as part of the Rooney Rule. So we thought it would be a good time to talk to Jim Rooney, who, as we said, author, consultant, national speaker. His dad, Dan Rooney, is credited as the architect and the advocate for the Rooney Rule. And Jim is nice enough to join us right now. Jim, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you today?
Good to be on with you folks today. How are you?
We're doing great. Obviously, the Rooney Rule is on everybody's mind. And I wanted to ask you this first question. Do you think it's worked, Jim? Because when the rule came into effect in its first stage, there were three black coaches. Now, today, as we speak, there's one black coach. So do you think it's worked?
Well, so I look at it in a little bit broader context. But you know, when you look at those numbers, you can't say that the outcomes are what anyone, and I try not to, speak for my father, who's no longer alive. But, I don't think anyone should be happy with these numbers. So I think that's a place to start. I do think, you look at what Tony Dungy always called the spirit of the Rooney Rule. And you look at, you have 40% now minorities as assistant coaches. You have significant numbers of women in coaching and scouting departments that wasn't even heard of when the rule started. And then you have the sort of update on the process and the policies, which are really only somewhere between 2 years and 18 months. There's been a couple of things that have been updated. So I think there's some things to look at and say, this is good, and the spirit of the Rooney Rule certainly drove it. And then, bottom line head coaching numbers and general manager numbers, there needs to be more.
Jim, was there also a theory that even if an African-American didn't get the job, they might get the experience of the interview that they otherwise would not get before the Rooney Rule?
Right. And that's exactly what happened. And, I certainly wonder today, 20 years later, is that as notorious as it was then, when you really were getting, so much fewer numbers of interviews? And so that there was a conversation back then about sham interviews, and it was actually Tom Williamson, who was one of the top attorneys in the country, African-American at a big, big firm. And he really pushed back on my dad, who was bringing up the sham interview conversation then, and said, look, Dan, we have to get people in front of the process. They have to be able to start interviewing because, as you know, it just was so infrequent then. Now, is that as good of a sort of metric to think about? I'm not as sure, because I think we are getting more and more people interviewing. So what do we need to do to get to the next step?
That was going to be my next question. Jim, do they have to add really sharp teeth to this rule where if somebody hires a minority coach that they get rewarded? I mean, is that a street that you want to go down?
Right, and as you folks both know, or all know, I'm not, sorry, Peter, there's three of you there. It is when you look at change management, when you study management, all these things, everything that says if you make a significant cultural change, which this is and needs to be, that positive factors are much greater drivers than negative factors. So how do we get those? They actually will say in management school, you want 80-20, you want 80% of the focus to be on the strength and the positive direction. So I think you need to think about those things, but how do you do those and not humiliate people further? Because You know, if I'm black and you hired me because you're gonna get an additional third round pick, mm-hmm. you know, did you hire me because I'm the best coach? So there's a tricky piece to that, but we have to figure out a positive. But you know, 20% does have to have to be negative, and I do think negative is the right word, but I do think, you know, that there has to be some enforcement mechanism that's a little more clear. I think that would be important.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This isn't easy to ask, but I need to. Are you proud of the Rooney Rule, or is it as it stands? Is it hard to be proud of the actual implementation of it, considering the only black coach we have right now is Mike Tomlin?
Yep. Such a good question, and I think about it a lot. You know, I think about the work my father did, and you know, I know we're in New York, but you know, take a second and pat him on the back. But you know, he came in the '60s. He put in the business plan. He wanted us to be one of those highly integrated teams. He brings in, you know, Bill Nunn, who gets in the Hall of Fame. We draft more players from the HBCUs. You know, you build up to the Mike Tomlin hiring, and consistently throughout my father's leadership. You have black men in leadership, decision-making roles throughout the organization. And you create this culture that I believe, you know, the Steelers made the playoffs this year. And I think a lot of analysts would say there's four or five better teams that didn't. And I believe it is the culture, the sense of trust that a black man comes into our locker room and feels that it's not just their athleticism that's going to be respected. It's their brain, it's their character, it's all these other attributes, and that they see leadership in a way that is you know, visceral, that it's a real experience. It's not a concept. And so from the standpoint of how my father managed things and the fact that this effort is to drive in that direction, I'm very proud. But the fact that we have to be in this conversation every January and February, and that his good name kind of gets thrown in the mud, you know, it's pretty frustrating.
Well, here's the thing that messes this all up, Jim, is that your dad was a fair man, and the Rooney Rule would have worked in Pittsburgh, because at the time that job was open, everybody thought for sure Russ Grimm was going to get it, but Mike Tomlin came in and blew the socks off the room, and this is the guy we have to have. So let me lead you to this question, which is not an easy question either. Is the Rooney Rule not working because most of the NFL owners are racist?
Well, you know, I certainly don't want to be calling a group of people racist, but I don't think you can look and say that bias isn't playing out in mm-hmm. certain decisions.
Yeah, bias is a much better word than racist, because racist is certainly pejorative. But I believe, Jim, and I don't know if you would agree, that I think just people are uncomfortable hiring people that aren't like them. And I think that's the problem.
You're hitting it on the head. I mean, we all run to what's familiar to us. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at, and I know I'm going way back to the 70s, but, you know, obviously I think we were the best team, you know, back in the 70s. We were a great team. The other, you know, with all due respect to the Cowboys, the other great team of the 70s were the Raiders. And Al and Dan were committed to this, you know, 50 years ago when other people weren't even close, and they've outperformed everyone. And so, you know, we're talking about bias, and we should, and we're talking about frustration and outrage, and we should. But, you know, common sense, when I look at the success of these two people, and again, there's some distance between us and them, but, you know, you go to BA last year in the Super Bowl, and certainly Tom Brady was there, but you had the most diverse coaching staff, and you had a team that, you know, the defensive line, you know, that whole team played so well in that environment where there was greater diversity. So, you know, I don't understand why people don't look at our culture, and there's plenty of challenges to deal with that. We're certainly not perfect, but say, not only is this, you know, do I want to get over this hurdle, but these guys really do something I'd like to emulate. And that sense of trust that's there is an element I would want in my culture. And, you know, I think we have it pretty well.
Well, the thing I've been wondering about, Jim, forever, and I brought it up on the show a bunch of times, we've had this issue with black quarterbacks. We've seen to get over that. There are 6 black general yep. managers in the NFL. Why do you think head coaching is a bridge too far for these owners?
Yeah, I think you're on to something, and I think it goes back to the quarterback mentality, you know, 30 years ago or whenever we sort of really made that switch. You know, when do we get comfortable in saying this person's in charge? They can sit in the locker room. They can. You know, make the change. They can persuade a group of people, because I think that you look at diversity throughout the teams, and we're getting there at these important levels, but they're not the decision maker. They're not the face of the franchise. And I think that's the point that if we're going to make the change, it has to be at the coaching level, because it is, you know, it's the keystone job.
Jim Rooney is with us. He has a book, A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's Story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. Jim, we appreciate you coming on. And really, obviously, the rule has always had great intent. It's just unfortunate that some people won't go along with the spirit of the rule and do the right thing. But we appreciate you coming on.
Really enjoyed talking to you guys. And important subject. I'm glad you're bringing it up and holding the light on it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks,
be well.
Jim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I thought that he, you know, off of Peter's question, he brought up something, you know, that kind of tears at your heart. I mean, the Rooney Rule is almost looked at derisively when it was drawn up beautifully with great intent. But as I've mentioned, and I also agree with, you can't force people to hire somebody to coach their team. You could gently nudge them. You could put people in front of them that maybe make an impression. And next time there's a position open, that you get them in first, and maybe they get the job that time. And also people can learn about interviewing and how each of these things go down. But Peter, it's true. That rule, which should only have a glow about it, is almost like it's laughable at times, because there were 3 black coaches when that rule was put into place, and now there's one. So there's a failure.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel overly proud about something. I mean, it's certainly well-intentioned, but at this point, it's almost like when you even hear the word Rooney Rule, you have a negative feeling when you even say it at this point. just feels like a failure.
Yeah, and it's sad. And really, as I mentioned to Jim, who's Dan Rooney's son, when it worked the way the Steelers had it work. That's how it worked. Again, Russ Grimm was getting that job. Everybody assumed he was the heir apparent. He was getting that job. And that's when they brought in Mike Tomlin, who I believe was a coordinator for 1 year with the Minnesota Vikings. And the interview blew them away.
Yeah.
So he got in front of decision makers and they said, this is the guy we want. And Grimm didn't get the job. And boy, did it turn out to be a pretty good decision. 15 years without a losing season.
But in sports, right, you're always looking at working angle, right? You're always trying to find a way to get over. Because, like, even interviewing Brian Flores, is that really in the spirit of the Rooney Rule? The guy's been a head coach before.
Right.
Like, so he's not going to get any education from the interview process. He's already been through the interview process. So there's just so many ways around it. So if you, how do you change hearts and minds? That's what it really comes down to. And if you have somebody that just does not want to have an African-American be their head coach, the Rooney Rule's not going to change their mind. They'll bring in coaches to interview so they can check the boxes and not get fined. But at the end of the day, they're going to pick who they want to pick.
Now, so I found this interesting, and maybe you guys will think I'm reaching, and I'm sure some people who already hate me will think that this is typical Rosenberg stuff here. But so the Giants are hiring Mike Kafka as their OC.
Mm-hmm.
A white guy. Who is the quarterback's coach in Kansas City? Yeah,
yes.
Quarterback's coach and pass game coordinator. So just to be clear, so the guy who's under Bieniemy has gotten a job. Bieniemy still can't get a sniff.
But and I mean, in fairness, they can't. They couldn't hire Bieniemy.
No, I'm not blaming the Giants.
Coordinator.
No, I'm not saying the Giants. Like, okay, the Giants aren't obligated to be the one. But it's just funny to me. Bieniemy can't get a sniff, but they've already moved on to the guy below Bieniemy, who's 34 years old.
But if Bieniemy became available, he would be gobbled up as an OC in 2 seconds.
As right. An OC, but right. He's at the point where he should be getting an HC. That it's time. And by the way, the Minnesota job, there's the name out there for that, another white guy. Even in the midst of this all happened, that's the thing that's like blowing my mind, is like even with all eyes on this, it's still not changing. This whole offseason, everyone knew, like, man, we just saw Cully's out. They're not, wow, we're only down to Mike Tomlin. And there are like 5-6 vacancies. All these vacancies are getting filled right during this time. And so far, no one.
But it's just so strange, right? Like, because what it is I just don't know if I want to have an African-American be the face of my franchise, to be the leader. But he's going to be leading 70% of a roster that's African-American. Wouldn't that make sense? Like, the bottom line is winning. Hire the best coach available.
But
I just can't.
We shouldn't be shocked. This goes back over 40 years. I mean, if you want to know what management thinks about African Americans, just listen to Al Campanis' interview on Nightline. Peter, you saw it yesterday on Twitter.
I played it this morning on the morning show. It's
I insane. Mean, that's all you have to know. I mean, do you think that poor Al Campanis, who was, you know, from old school, you think he was an outlier? Or do you think that everybody thinks like that?
And if people didn't see it, it's basically Koppel grilling Campanis on why there are no black managers in baseball. And this guy, with a straight face, just says it's because black people just likely don't have the capacity to be a manager. And Koppel calls this garbage and is clearly taken aback by it. And when he points it out, I mean, Michael, the irony of it, this is the thing I found really funny about it, is that this guy is talking about how basically the intellectual faculties of black people just obviously aren't that of white people. And as he's speaking, sounds like a functional moron. Like, that's the part that I find funny. He's like, well, I know. Black people can't swim as well because they're not buoyant. I mean, it's insane. But to your point, Michael, these things don't all just disappear. And if that was, what was that from? That was the mid-80s?
Might have been late
77?
Maybe in the 80s.
So,
mid-80s.
And in fairness to Al Campanis, Peter, I don't know if you know this, I don't think he was a racist. I mean, he was instrumental and close with Jackie Robinson. And, I mean, he went back forever in the Dodger organization. It's just that he actually thought this was the truth. He didn't think he was being racist.
See, that's the thing is that people think racism is all about, you know, white hoods and
hate
and burning crosses. That's not what it is all the time. A lot of time it is that, listen, you could be married to a black woman or a man. Or you could have the best friends be black and just give tons of money to the NAACP. But if you believe, if there's a bias in you that they are not equal to you, then that's racist.
Right. So, like, he may very well have been really friendly to Jackie Robinson.
Right.
But when push comes to shove, he believes black people aren't capable of managing.
So he lost his job because of that, and he lost his reputation. And if you watch the whole interview, Koppel was trying to save him.
Yeah.
I know.
Gave him every opportunity to get out of it, and he just couldn't. He couldn't.
No. It was how he felt. And it's interesting because, yeah, sometimes we think of racism always being clear-cut hatred. Sometimes it may not be about direct hatred. It's about an actual belief system where you feel people are less than.
But on the other side of that is, how could you still think that when one of the best coaches in the NFL is black? Like, now, there's no evidence anymore. There never was, but, like, if you wanted to debate it, like, give me an example why this would be an awful decision. Give me an example why you couldn't win with an African-American coach, that you can't have a leader, can't have the face of your franchise. Give me evidence. Show me receipts why that would be a bad decision.
But, it's such a confusing subject at times. You know, I mentioned yesterday I got some kickback on Twitter about it. And I've always said that the way you change these things is to have, you know, African-American minority ownership, and that's the first step. And also African-American GMs. Well, there's six of them. And, you know, you mentioned Eric Bieniemy, and I think this bears pointing out, Peter. So the Bears hired Ryan Poles out of Kansas City's front office. He's black. The Bears had a coaching vacancy. He didn't even interview Eric Bieniemy. Didn't even interview him. Now, how does that make sense?
Well, now,
he ended up hiring Eberflus.
Now, in an isolated situation, maybe Bieniemy isn't head coaching material. But you can't explain that away for the other 31 teams and all the other coaches that are clearly qualified that are not getting that job.
Well, listen, guys, there's no need to even talk about this because Stephen Ross came out and said that none of this is true, okay?
Well, I want to – when we come back, Hugh Jackson – was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And it was a fascinating interview. But I'm going to tip my hand a little bit on this tease. He kind of lost me, man. I don't know if either of you guys heard the interview. He kind of lost me. But we'll talk about that when we get back. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.